Tonight, we joined with many of our people to go to that singing, and it was great. Been a long time I've seen such much harmony and people singing, and singing for the heart, not competing against each other. And I said Wednesday night, and I'll say it there today, we had as good or better than anyone put their foot forward, and our people that sung for us. It's amazing. That's how God is so good to us. That's how we're fortunate, and you're fortunate, here at Wilkesboro Baptist Church. I'm fortunate that God allowed me to come and you give me the opportunity to work with you. But there's so much talent here. Not with our ability to sing, but the talent of leading. And God's so great. So today I want us to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We find that Paul was speaking to the Thessalonians, and he's saying to them that we need to realize how great God is. Beginning there with verse 13, he says, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those that which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall shout and descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We all talk about the greatness that God has been. And we experience the greatness. God had created heaven and earth. Just stop and think about how God has created light and dark. He created man. But just think about the magnificent power that God has in such a way that all the universe is in balance. Doesn't run together. You know, you talk to those that have those scientific minds and brilliance of minds to interpret all the outer space, how great it is. That we go to bed, we don't worry about the sun running into the moon. We don't worry about where Mars is going to hit the earth. We get up in the morning, we don't worry, because God has given us the four seasons. And God is so good. But today I want us to think about when Jesus comes, what do we expect? Now I've heard people over the years that would say, you know, I believe in a Christian life, I believe God is good, but you know, that's a lot of trouble. They don't expect very much, do they? You see, the fact is, we find in the first resurrection, look at the power and the magnificence of God's mystery and power and development. But notice, God sent his son, Jesus, precious Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary. Because God loves us that much better. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody else will. We hear people saying, "Oh, how I love." No. That little couple, first meet and they fall in love, as they call, and they look at each other's eyes, I love you more than anything. No, Jesus loves us more than what we can love, folks. It's unselfish love. And here was Christ that came and walked upon the foundation of the earth. We can witness to the fact not only Christ walks, but he healed the sick. He fed the hunger. He raised the dead. What a great God can do that. Someone said, well, I can read that in the Bible. Listen, Jesus is all that he said he is, or he's the biggest liar and the greatest interpreter the world ever known. And he said that not only he done it then, but he will be able the same. The Lord, the Bible teaches Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So don't try to tell me Jesus can't do these great powers, because he can. Jesus went all the way to old rugged cross. You see the fact the rulers, the religious leaders, they mocked him. They were the one that hollered, crucify. But it was the same crowd that when he rode into Jerusalem, they hollered, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. And when he stood there, they said, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And you see, that's what's happening. But we read in the scripture, according to the scripture, and it tells us that Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was crucified. He was put in a borrowed tomb. You see, the most prized possession a person could have in those days was have their own personal tomb. But he was placed in Joseph's borrowed tomb. Would you loan somebody your tomb? If you thought they're going to be there for eternity, no. He's just going to use it for so many times. And then what happened on that special morning when the two women went to the tomb? The stone had been rolled away. Now people said, oh, that's very skeptical, but let me tell you what the whole story is. The whole story is this. First of all, they'd take the Roman guards and they had rolled the stone across the open and placed one there and watched and making sure nobody pushed away the stone and done away with the body. But then we hear the two women, and the angel said to the two women, come, see where the place the Lord had laid. Had laid. For he's not here, just like he said. And I used this the other week when I used the example, you know. If you go to a Jewish family and you have a meal, even today, when you get ready to get up, if you finish your meal, you wad your napkin and throw it in the plate. But if you're not and you're coming back, you fold that napkin up and you lay it beside the plate. And what did they say? The gray clothes were thrown over the side. For there laid that napkin folded. What did it say? I'm coming back. Amen. I'm not dead. So this morning when we come to see it, I want us to understand as in 1 Thessalonians what he's saying. He's saying, listen, there's going to be a resurrection. Amen. It's not Jesus going to be dying on a cross and put in a tomb. You see, those that have gone on before. You see, the loved ones that are dead in Christ. You see, the fact is, we can see those that we recognize and see that Jesus is coming, but he's not coming to be Savior. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
He's coming to resurrect the body, to join the soul. Now, this is a great event that we'd ever talk about. And the fact is that you see that the dead is going to rise that are in Christ Jesus. We go and we allow the body to be buried. And we'll say, you know, hope to see them again. No, there ain't no hope. We're dead in Christ. They're going to be resurrected, folks. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall first rise. Those people are going to raise at that moment to share in the resurrection of the body and the soul. I've heard people many times would say, I'd like to see my mom, my dad, or my loved one. I'd like to see them again. Folks, if they died in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see them again. That body will be raised to join the Spirit. Now you see that, we see that resurrection. The word here is situation. Asleep. The bodies are asleep, but the soul never sleeps. You see, the thing is that I said the other Wednesday, I believe, was, you see that many people say, well, it's over. Oh, they suffered, they paid their dues. No, it's never over. The soul is the real us. And it never sleeps. Either eternal in heaven or eternal in hell. Ain't no better way of putting it. Now we have those today who say, you know, this and that. And I told you how Catholicism somewhat teaches that, you know, person dies, you can give them so much money and to the church or the priest, and they'll pray you out of purgatory into heaven. That's a good fundraising measure. I'm sure. You know what? It's like going to the mortuary. If you don't make prearrangement, you can't. Listen, you're going to spend all you can and even more than what you have, because that's the last time you're able to do something. So it'd be a good opportunity to say, well, if you give us so much money, we'll raise your loved one out of purgatory and into heaven. They don't. There's a hell and there's a hell. And folks, either we're in hell or we're going to rejoice in heaven. There's going to be a resurrection. I don't know about you. That's exciting to me. That's exciting to say those ones that we love so much that died in the Lord, there's going to be a resurrection. It's not how fancy the box is. It's not how elaborate the grounds are. You see, when Jesus comes, the dead shall rise first for the resurrection. You know, people, I hear them say a lot and talk a lot, and they even sing songs about when Jesus comes, all this, they don't even know what's going to happen when Jesus comes. It's more than a song. It's more than an expression. It's the truth. The Lord Himself, not some character, not some servant that's added to the list, the Lord Himself shall descend. And we know a little bit about the location. You see here he says, Paul tells that God will bring the dead with Him. So what does that mean? He's going to bring the dead with him. It means that they're going to be with him. The spirit of our living saints are going to come and unite with that body. And that body is going to be changed in the twinkle of an eye. And we'll have a perfect body. We'll look like Jesus Christ. A great resurrection. Now notice. The scripture says that we shall not prevent or perceive. In other words, the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Those of us who are here today, if Jesus comes today, the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And those of us that are alive and remain will be called up. So there's a great resurrection when Jesus comes. But then there is a rescue. It will be sudden. The scripture says, caught up, snapped away, seized by force. The moment we're living, and the next moment we'll be with Him, living with God, the living God. It's going to be a rescue. You know, we pray, and I think, yeah, and I thank God that people's prayed for me. We pray a lot of times for people just being healed. But you know what? What excitement is going to be that God's going to rescue us. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no more death. We'll be with the Lord. What a rescue. My friend here for the fire department, I'm sure the rescue has to be a great, exciting time when you've been able to pull somebody from a wreck, out of a flaming home, a building. And you see, to live again. But you know what? They'll die with something else. But this rescue, He rescues for eternity. He didn't rest us out of our sorrow and difficulty and situation. He rescued us to be with the Lord Himself. Now, if He didn't do all this, it'd be amazing just to be able to walk with Jesus. You know, we've heard all kind of philosophers. We've heard all kind of people. Theologians describe a lot of things, and they argue over certain types of interpretation of the Scriptures. But it won't be none of that. Because God Himself will be rescued to walk with Him. Folks, what a wonderful time when Jesus comes. And then notice, not only there's the rescue, but there is the reunion. You see, rescue the body and the soul. Those that are alive and be remained will be called up. We'll meet the saints. Caught up together with them. What a day that will be. Surely to rejoice in the truth of what God is going to do for us. We'll not only have that reunion with our loved ones that we have longed to see them and talk to them and be with them, but with the characters of the Bible that's meant so much. I want to see Jesus, first of all. I want to fall at His feet and worship Him and thank Him for being the great God He is that loved us, that gave His own life for us. And you know, I've done a lot of studying and preaching on the Paul. I'd like to sit down with Paul and say, Paul, what did you mean? That far off base of it. But you know what? We'll worship Jesus, so He'll be there. My mom, my dad, Diane's parents, I got a younger brother that's been there. Many friends, ministers that's gone on. We'll be able to see them again, folks. What a reunion. You know, families used to have a great reunion. Man, everybody in the family, you know, you see cousins that you didn't even know you skinned to. Churches used to have great homecoming. I hope it's going to be a great homecoming for you here. Because you know what? It ought to be an exciting time that people come back where they met Jesus Christ. Where they grew up. Being taught the way of God through this church.
What a reunion, folks.
But most of all, that reunion when he says, "Welcome home, my servant. A job well done." Reunion. We'll meet the Savior, and we will be with him, and he will never, will even be with the Lord, never absent from him anymore. The thrill of knowing that we're in a place where God will be all the time. Not some of the time. The one who was so willing to give his life for us that we'll be able to worship him. That song says over 10,000 years and we'll just get started. Can you imagine? I thought about that when we were down to that singing the other night. All those people coming together and singing, fellowshipping, singing about the praises of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, we'll be going home. You see, we should be looking for him. Paul said that he looked for him today. If he didn't come today, he'd be here this afternoon. He didn't, he'd be the first thing in the morning. If he didn't come over this hill, he'd be right over the next. Are we living, looking that Jesus would come? What would it matter to you when Jesus comes? Will we be going? Ain't no doubt. Scholars may disagree on a lot of things, but they do agree that Jesus is coming. And whether they agree or not, the Bible said he's coming. He said, "I'm going to a fair place and I come again." And I believe with all my heart, folks, it's not going to be long. We could be living in a special moment, just enjoying life and all the beauty and all the technology, and in a moment, Jesus is going to come. Either we're going to be eternity with him or we're going to spend eternity in hell where the flame never goes out and the worm never dies. We should live for him coming. We are to live. If he didn't come today, we're ready to go. And we are to be living and loving, preaching and teaching the word of God to those who we love. You know, I think every service is important. You know why? It might be somebody's last service. You don't ever know. I believe God expects us to be prepared. I believe God expects us to proclaim the gospel so clear that a child can understand, folks. Because we know he's coming. But the situation we face today, if he comes, will we be going? Where would you be if Jesus was come today? Where would you be if the voice of the archangel and the trump of God should sound and Jesus is coming? You know, they had some movies out here several years ago talking about the rapture, and many churches showed those movies. They showed about an associate pastor in a church. And then it showed about this lady. And oh, Lord, they thought when heaven comes, when Jesus comes, everything's going to be all right. But they didn't make it. They didn't make it. Fact of it is, the Bible teaches there will be two on the housetop. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two in the bed, one will be taken, and the other will be left. There will be two in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Will we go? He's coming. and our word is, will we be go? The only way we can go is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and confess our lips, the Lord Jesus, and I shall be saved. Jesus said, no man shall go to the Father but by me. He's coming, folks. I don't know when he's coming. The Bible said not even the angels in heaven knows when he's coming. When I see a new book come out and it says, we're going to tell you when Jesus comes, I ain't wasting my money. Because they lied to start with. They don't know when he's coming. They used to have big things come to the auditoriums and things. They'd have a big book. Come on, we're going to tell you, show you when Jesus is coming. I'm not wasting my time going there. They're liars and deceivers. The truth is not in them, folks. See, one thing you can do, you can trust this.
Amen.
It is the way. It's the truth. It's the life. Jesus is the only way. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Or would you be left behind?